Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
This letter, the pathos, the feeling, the emotion of this book is all about sensing that he wanted to be there. He left, there was something undone in his relationship with them. And you see that described in these verses. But one of the things you're going to find out in chapter 3, we're going to look at all 13 verses, and some with more depth than others. But you're going to find out four times in this text he mentions the word faith. And that's what we want to talk about today. Everyday faith. Because he left them, and he knew they were having a tough time back in Thessalonica. They were being mistreated because of their faith, being persecuted for their faith. And he's somewhat fearful that maybe, because of the tough times, they've abandoned their faith in Christ. Maybe, just maybe, they were, you know, just kind of, the church disbanded, they folded, they just were no more as a church. So he desires to find out what is going on. And if you look at verse 1 of chapter 3, you see what he decides to do about it. And he's now recounting that in this letter he's sending to them. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. There's the first time we see that word. No one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, I could no longer endure it. I sent to know your faith, there it is again, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our afflictions and all of our distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith. You see faith just jumping out there in the text. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord, verse 8. So Timothy has now come back from that investigative journey. He's found out that they indeed are still clinging to the faith, their belief in Christ. They were still meeting and going on in their Christian lives in spite of what they were experiencing in the society around them. And Paul is rejoicing, and Paul is thrilled that they were people who maintained their faith. And what I want to share with you this morning is what we can learn from this text and these verses and the ones that will follow about how we can develop, strengthen, enhance, whatever term you want to use, our faith. Because we live in a world that is increasingly antagonistic to our faith. You think about the things about our faith that are not really accepted in the world today, such as there is one God and He is the creator of all things. That's frowned upon in many segments of our society. And to believe that that one God gets to set the rules of what is right and what is wrong in human behavior, that certainly goes against the grain. And to talk about that there is only one way to God, one way to, well, the fact that there is a heaven to begin with, but the fact that there's only one way to get there, and that is exclusively and only through Jesus Christ alone and his work on the cross. That exclusivity rubs people in our culture the wrong way. And you can talk, you try this if you want to. You can talk generically about God, you can talk generically about faith, you talk about religion, spirituality. When you mention Christ, there's something about the exclusiveness of him that gets very offensive to people. And the Word of God, the New Testament, is very clear that all the things I just delineated for you quickly are part of the faith. They're part of our faith. And no matter what's going on out there, we need to be strong in our faith that we don't crumble when that kind of pressure comes to be pushing on us. So I want to share some things with you from the text, just examining how Paul addresses this, and I would suggest to you that most of these things are already in play in our lives, but I want to encourage you to keep going or to see where you're at in relation to these, because these are just three key ingredients to help us to be growing in our faith and making sure it is resilient and it's strong and it's going to stand the test of time no matter what's going on in our world. And I don't frankly suspect society and culture to get much better. I frankly, sorry if I'm being a pessimist, but I would say a realist, I don't think it's going to get any better. I think it's going to go increasingly worse. That was true in their day, and that's true in our day. First of all, how do we have this everyday faith? How do we just make sure it is resilient and strong? Number one, you need to encourage your faith and to have your faith encouraged, and that's what these first verses are about. He sends Timothy. By the way, he sent Timothy probably, that was very strategic of him, because Timothy was of mixed ethnicity. He was considered Greek rather than Jewish, rather than a Jew. If Paul had gone back to Thessalonica, being a Jew, he would have stirred up some notice. Timothy comes in looking the part like everybody, every other person of Greek culture in that Roman society. He could slip in and out with probably not causing any kind of a stir. So he was the likely candidate to go. And he comes back, he says, I wanted to see how you were doing, middle of verse 2, and also to do this, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. I wanted him to deliver the message to you that God is still there for you and still going on. And he was desirous, verse 3, that your faith would not be shaken. You should be shaken by these afflictions, for you know that these things were going to come about. They were going to come about. So we encourage our faith, first of all, by seeing the faith of others that we are around. He sees their faith reported from Timothy, and he's encouraged. They saw Timothy's faith, they were encouraged. Timothy relayed Paul's faith, and they're encouraged. It's this fact that we see what we really can't see. I mean, faith, by definition, is seeing something that you don't see with these eyes or hear with these ears. We don't relate to it with our senses. But what we can see is people growing and doing what they should do in spite of the opposition and all that. I see that going on, and that encourages my faith, and me doing that in return encourages other people's faith. Therefore, you need people in our lives. Now, I'm going to reveal my age. Some of you are old enough to understand this. Some of you say, what's that old guy talking about, okay? Back before there was Animal Planet on television, okay? There was a show that some of us old geezers like myself watched on Saturday night called Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. That was our animal show. And I learned a couple things. Marlon Perkins was the host. And Jim Fowler, by the way, Jim Fowler, he's now deceased, but he wound up actually on Animal Planet in his latter years. So maybe some of you youngsters have heard of him, but he was a zoologist. But they would go out on these adventures studying animals, and it was always amazing. Marlon Perkins would be standing on the riverbank at a great safe distance looking through binoculars while poor Jim Fowler went down and wrestled the giant anaconda in the Amazon, and he did all the dirty work while Marlon just talked about it. And now Jim is showing us that, you know, all that sort of thing. So we enjoy that. But a couple things I learned watching Wild Kingdom. One was, when one of those predators wants to attack the herd, they always get the little gazelle, or whatever it was, separated from the pack. Okay? Now, usually in their world, they wouldn't show the gory parts, you know. And the gazelle just immediately, you know, just escaped just before the jaws of the lion closed. But I think they sort of edited it strategically for us youngsters. But to be separated from the pack made them vulnerable. If we're going to be vulnerable to the the enemy of our faith, that roaring lion that walks around seeking him to devour, if we are separated from the pack, we're going to lose our encouragement, lose our encouragement to walk firm in the faith, and bring us to this place where we're going to be praying, where we might be that one that is shaken in our faith.
I hear you.
We need to be together. We need to share together. We need to come together. And I'll share a little bit later about my second lesson from Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. But anyway, that's the first one. So we need to be together. We need to see this faith. And he says in verse 6, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, what's his response? That you always have had good remembrance and greatly desiring to see us as we also see you. Therefore, in all of our affliction and distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith. And later he's going to thank God for it. We were encouraged seeing what God is doing in your life. And people need to be encouraged by what God is doing in your life that they can see. We need to be people, and I love to do this. Just find someone when you have that interaction. Tell me your story about your faith, how you came to Christ. Tell me the story of your life. And the variety is amazing. The drama is extreme. No matter how simple or how profound a testimony you think you may have, it's always exciting that God has intervened and brought you to himself. So share that faith. We need to share that faith with people who are not people of faith as well. And I want to point you to three great resources that we have for you today. The first one is this one. We have, as part of our website, we have a part of our website that's just basically calvarydv.com/share. And I'll leave that on the screen for a moment. You can look it up or you can write it down or you can draw it up on your iPhone browser as we speak, whatever you want to do. But it's going to give you some helps of how you can share your faith and how you can write out your faith story, so that you can share that with believer and non-believer alike. And it's a great resource, and it's been there for a while, and Pastor Adam put all this together. I want you to be aware of it, because we need to share our faith. Somebody needs to hear that you're standing for the Lord. Someone needs to hear that you are still going on for him, that no matter what life has handed you, you're still going on in your faith in the Lord. So share that, because we're encouraged. And also invite the sharing of other people, whether that's people socially, people in your small group, in your life group, or whatever setting. We'd love to hear that. A few years ago, we did a number of those. We called them faith stories. I think they're still on our website. Maybe we need to redo that. Make a note of that, will you? Because we just did video testimonies. We put that out for people to share. A great thing to do. So that interaction. It says, for now we live, verse 8, if you stand fast in the Lord. This is what gives us life, to see others going through. It just verifies that God's at work. Now, I want to get to really the bulk of what I want to share, because I think this is even more practical than the first part. But we need to be people who not only encourage the faith in ourselves and in others through our story, but secondly, we need to enhance our faith through a couple of very dramatic means. So enhance your faith in this way. All right, that's the second point. So look at verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before the Lord, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. There's one more reference to faith of the four you see in this text. By the way, he's getting ready to offer a prayer. He mentions, says, I'm giving thanks for it. That's the third time he's given thanks to the Thessalonians in this letter. It's also the second prayer coming up in verses 11 through 13 in just a moment. We'll get to that in just a moment. So enhance your faith, okay? He says, we give thanks for it. We render thanks to God for you with all joy for which we rejoice for your sake before God. We are pouring out our thanks to God for that, for that work in your life. And then you see in verse 10 the two components of enhancing your faith, developing it. The first one is prayer. It's very obvious in the text. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face. So to enhance your faith, you do it by prayer, and then later we'll see it this way, by instruction, by prayer and instruction. Now, there's a reason that we need to pray for each other, and it's back when he told us in verse 4, for in fact, we told you before that when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation just as it has happened, and you know. Difficulty is part of the Christian life. The other thing I learned from Wild Kingdom was there's scary beasts out there in the wild. They have all kinds of ways to attack and to make it dangerous for you. And if I could just, and we understand, the physical realm, the natural realm is full of predator and prey, is it not? And we might say, that's gory, that's not nice, that's not the way it ought to be. Well, maybe that's not the way it ought to be. I doubt that that's the way it was originally. I'm pretty sure it's not the way it was originally, because I think the curse changed the nature of the natural order. But nonetheless, that's the way it is. And in our spiritual world, there are predators out there, and sometimes the predators look on us as prey, starting with Satan, starting with those that are following him. There are some ways that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have crosshairs on your back. You may say, that is not very encouraging. Well, it is the truth, and Paul talked about it. And here's what we do to have faith even when we are under attack, to maintain our faith, that we don't crumble, we don't quit, we don't give in, we don't give out, we don't stop. It's we pray for each other. Amen. We pray for each other. We pray. Now, someone told me one time, and I believe this is true, if you ever want to put everybody in a great sense of conviction and guilt, just preach on prayer. Because every one of us feels like our prayer life is not as adequate. It's not adequate. It's not what it should be, myself included. So, but it's not my desire to make us feel guilty. It's my desire just to give you a nudge in your prayer life, to give you a little push in the right direction. Because we need to pray for each other. As I shared with you earlier as we began this service, we've been on the receiving end of many of your prayers these last week and a half, and that means more to us, you know, and it works. It works. Proof positive, it works. So pray for each other, because there's something that just calls God's power into our lives when we pray. That God, you know, God can do whatever he wants without us praying. I mean, true? And God does do many things without us praying. But the fact that he wants to somehow include us in this whole gamut of what he's putting together to do great things for God's people, he includes us praying for each other. And sometimes, I mean, I really, when I say I want to pray for somebody, I really want to pray for somebody. You know, and I'm sure I'm not 100% on this. I'm praying for you. I will pray for you. And sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle. One of the things I do when I say I'm going to pray for someone, I'll get a text from somebody, and I'll just say, oh, I'm praying for you. I try to, you know, just I hit send, and then I say, Lord, I'm going right now, just for take a moment and pray for them, whatever the need is. You know, just, and I would prefer to pray longer and hopefully try to cover that in a more detailed prayer, but just make sure you pray. Let's be people that we don't just talk about praying and say, I'm praying for you, or I'm sending prayers, but we need to really talk to God heart to heart. And it does something that connects God's heart to their need. You feel basically helpless like 90% of the time when somebody has a need. You know, I mean, they've gone through a tragedy, gone through a difficulty, they're going through something, and we just, I'll pray. And it seems like that's not enough. Well, oftentimes we can do more practically if he gives us that opportunity, but sometimes we can't. Don't undersell, don't undervalue, don't underestimate what God can do through the prayer of one of his children coming before his throne. He invites us. That's what the writer of Hebrews says, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, and we may find help in our time of trouble. It's an open invitation to come and pray. So we need to be people of prayer. And then secondly, instruction. Notice what he says in verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. We want to help you grow up in your faith, and that primarily is through instruction in the Word of God. You remember back in verse 2, where he sent Timothy there, so the end of the verse, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Timothy didn't just show up and say, well, I'm glad you're doing well. Paul's doing well. We'll see you later. He stayed there and he shared something of God's instruction with them. He taught them. Maybe he taught them what they already knew and he just wanted to remind them. Maybe he wanted to teach them some concept that they had not been introduced to before, and he teaches them the Word of God. So in this world where there are these predators out there and we are the prey, we need to encourage each other by praying, and we need to nurture each other through instruction in the Word of God. We are doing that right now, I trust. We do that in all kinds of settings, but we try to be there for each other. For those of you that are parents, it is your God-given role to pass on the instruction to the next generation. For those of us who are adults, maybe you have kids, you know, close in your life or not, but we need to be passing on to the next generation our faith. That person that's hurting needs us to reach out and share a touch from the Lord. And we have a great opportunity coming up. I'm so excited about this. On the 27th of this month, we've been doing many of these things. We're just trying to get a little more reorganized. But this is our care ministry kickoff. It's going to be on Wednesday night. We're not going to do our normal life groups on Wednesday night. We're all going to meet together. We're going to meet in the sanctuary. And we're just going to introduce you to all of our care teams And many of you back in January when you did our little census card, our little data, you know, your name, address, and all that, many of you marked on the back of that a care team you'd like to be involved in. If you did that, you're going to get a special invitation by email to come to that. If you say, I didn't know about that or I missed that, you can still come and you can be involved. Okay, and there's various care teams. There's the response team. This group is people that they've already been going on for some time. They go out and they do something physically, handyman kind of stuff. I was at one of our elderly couples recently. They needed some steps because they were having trouble getting in their house. Response team went out, and I was there at their house recently and just saw those steps. I thought, that's a work of God right there to do that for those people. So fix things up, that sort of thing. We have our prayer team. Many of you have already on a prayer team. You just didn't know you was on the prayer team, but you're on the prayer team, okay? But the way this works, if you want to give us your email address, and there's going to be a leader who's going to coordinate this, but we have an urgent prayer request. We send it out by email. Your responsibility when you get those is pray. To pray. Do what we're just talking about, to pray. We have two different meal teams. One does meals for bereavement or funerals. The other one is delivering meals to people's houses. We have leaders that are going to coordinate that. We have what we're going to call our in touch team, the touch in people's lives. Maybe they just need a card sent. Maybe they need a phone call. Maybe they need a visit. And then we have another team that we call a quiet moments team. And this is people that are willing to go and minister to people very specifically in their time of need. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's loneliness, whatever, just to give them that touch in life. Or maybe it's someone who needs spiritual counsel and they need to know about how to become a believer in Christ. So they're going to people step into that role. Just come. And if you say, I've already got a ministry, probably care ministry is not where I'm going to fit in my ministry in the church, you come and be excited about what's going on in your church, okay? So you can come to dinner at 5:30 on the 27th and then move over there and we're going to launch this in a whole new way. And I'm so excited about it. We've got our leaders in place. We're going to introduce them and you'll be a part of it. So that's how we can just kind of enhance each other's faith through instruction, through touch, through prayer. And you be a part of that. That's a good next step, all right? And if you want to write that date down or you want to put that in your calendar right now, you can zone out for the next 30 seconds and do that. I would let you zone out of a sermon for 30 seconds because it's that important. I wouldn't allow anything else to do that. All right, so let's move on. So encourage your faith by seeing the faith in others. Enhance your faith by prayer and instruction. Lastly, express your faith to others in ways that, a couple ways I'll give you in just a moment, all right? And he says here in this, in these closing statements of chapter 3, somehow I got into 2 Thessalonians rather than 1. Sorry about that. Verse 11, now may our God and Father, now this is the prayer, himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. We're still praying. We're going to get there. He prayed about that. There's no indication that that was actually part of his experience. It could have happened. Maybe we don't know about it. But nonetheless, he's praying about that. And here's what he continues to pray for, verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. So how does expressing your faith? It comes by loving one another. Loving one another. And I commend you for being a loving church. We've been on the receiving end these last few days. And I know many of you have been in that position too. But to love each other, to love it. You know, it says increasing and abounding, doing more than we have done. There's always room to move forward and to move forward in what we see happening in love. Can I just give you one bit of advice to help you love people? I'm not quite sure exactly how to do this, but I'll tell you what it is we do. If you want to love people, have a short memory. Just some things you just need to say, I'm not going to stew on that, I'm not going to think about that. There's that hurt, there's that bitterness, that thing in the past. Just have a short memory. And love people. And part of what you do in the body of Christ is know that person is growing in Christ. Yes, they haven't been perfect, but they've done some really bad stuff. They've messed up and they've done some things they shouldn't do. But if they're a believer in Christ, you understand this, when Jesus is finished with them, when they see Christ face to face, no matter how ordinary they are now, they're going to be just like Jesus then. And hopefully they're becoming a little more like Jesus now. And you love them and give them that opportunity. Don't worry about the past. Love them in the present. And that love goes beyond just the family of believers. It goes into the world. That's the standard operating procedure of our lives, is loving people. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, Paul said, is love. That's how we operate. Now, one more added to that, verse 13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Remember, every chapter of 1 Thessalonians ends with a reference to the second coming of Christ. It's all through the book. And the great news is, you know, by the way, if I had a choice, I'd rather go to heaven by rapture than death. Just suddenly we all go together and we're there. I don't know as I have a vote on that subject. I don't believe I do. But you know what? Sometimes you think about, well, if you die, you've missed that being caught off the earth. But notice what he says in the end of the verse. At the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints, all the saints that are dead in Christ are going to be right there at that same event. You're not going to miss anything if you know him as Savior. But go back to what he talks about holiness and blameless. We do it by striving for purity. We express our faith, how we love each other, and how we live a righteous life. Now, all of us know that striving for purity is a pursuit. It's not the end of all that we do. Okay, we haven't arrived, in other words. We're not perfect. But striving for purity, loving one another, number one. Two, by striving for purity, is part of what we do to show people that we are genuine believers. And it's what honors God. Worship is a key part of walking in purity, by the way. It's really hard to be harboring sin in your life when you're praising God and open before Him. So this is a good thing that we do. So how do we, what's a practical takeaway? What's a good next step when we think about loving one another and striving purity? Because being around other people also helps to keep us in purity, keeps us in line, keeps us accountable, those sorts of things. And how can we be loving one another in the most intimate way? Well, we do that through life groups. We sometimes call them small groups, but life groups. And I just want to give you this link again, okay? We gave you the link for Share Your Faith. We gave you the time for the Care Ministry kickoff on the 27th of this month. And I'm going to give you one more link, okay? And you can pull out your browsers and type this in. But it's calvaryv.com/adults. And there you find the list of all of our life groups. And if you're in a life group, keep going, keep loving, keep being an example to each other and being nudging each other toward righteousness. If not, jump in. Well, that's not my thing. We'll make it your thing. I tell people all the time, some people say, you know, I don't know how that's going to work. My standard answer, and I've never been proven wrong on this, go three times and you'll be hooked. Just try it. Just say, I'm going to go three times, just see what it's like. You'll be hooked. Just to enjoy being with each other. We have some on Wednesday night, which are short-term groups, very, very easy entry point. And of course, this next week we're having a special event with the kids stuff Easter program. You all come, everybody come. If you've not experienced one of those, you need to come. So our life groups on Wednesday is an easy entry point. We have some that meet all different times, different frequencies. Just find one. Pastor Adam knows everything that's going on about all that stuff. He'd be a great resource. I'll help you all I can. But to get plugged in. So let me refresh where we've been. Paul, in his interaction with this church of Thessalonica, says, encourage your faith. We do that by interacting and seeing the faith of others. Enhance your faith by prayer and instruction. Express your faith by loving one another and in purity. We gave you three examples, okay? Three next steps, all right? Use that link to learn how to share your faith, care ministry coming up, and also getting hooked up with a life group. So I'll just ask you the question just to push you in this direction. Are you boosting your faith every day? Are you moving forward in your faith every day? Are you ramping it up? Let me say one final thing. Rich said it very well during our worship time with the praise team. God does invite us to come just as we are. If you're here, maybe you're new to this. Maybe you say, this Christianity thing, I don't even know what that's all about. Or maybe you're listening to us today and you say, that's intriguing, but what does that mean? We'd love to have a conversation with you and assure you that all you need to do is come and believe in Christ. Believe in Him, trust in Him as that one and only Savior. And then the issues of your life, you have divine power to start addressing those. And He will be changing you, and He will not stop until we are made like Jesus when we see Him face to face. If you need help with that, Pastor Adam will be at the front. Pastor Tim will be around. I'll be here. Maybe you come with a Christian friend or a family member who could have that same conversation with you. But don't put off coming to faith in Him. And for those of us who know the Lord, may our faith indeed be everyday faith.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.